Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You got a problem with the mic, so I'll lay that down. Is this one working? Can you hear?
Yeah.
We'll use this one and I'll get organized after the sermon. Before I write a sermon or determine what sermon to write or the theme for the Sunday, I read the lessons, all three lessons, and decide whether I would like to use one of those or use a free text. This time I read the Old Testament lesson, said, got to deal with that one, talking about the commandments. Now you heard the Old Testament lesson, you have those words in front of you. Now, I'm going to pursue the thought that is brought up there, or the theme that is brought up there. The theme then for this meditation is the Ten Commandments. And the text, if you'd like to turn to that, is in Deuteronomy. Now, as you probably know, I hope you know, the Ten Commandments are spelled out word for word two places in the Bible. One is in Exodus 20, which is the commonly used or known one. And the other one is this one, Deuteronomy 5. And you'll see that they are virtually identical. The verses are 1, 6 to 21 and 29, and read as follows. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the ordinances which I speak in your hearing this day, and you shall learn them and be careful to do them." That's verse 1, then 6 to 21. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is on the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy." And this is the longest, the third one's the longest of all. "As the Lord your God has commanded you, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your manservant or your maidservant or your ox or your ass or any of your cattle or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your manservant and your maidservant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out thence with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not kill, neither shall you commit adultery, neither shall you steal, neither shall you bear false witness against your neighbor, neither shall you covet your neighbor's wife, and you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is your neighbor's." And finally, verse 29, "Oh, that they had such a mind as this always to fear me and keep all my commandments, that it might go well with them and with their children forever." This is our text, the Holy Word of God. My dear friends in Christ, one measure of a true Christian is his or her love for the Bible. The Bible. We believe the Bible's own claim to be the inspired, the inerrant Word of God. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for training, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3. The real author is the Holy Spirit. No prophecy ever came by the impulse of man, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. 2 Peter 1. And that's why we call the Bible God's Word. He caused it to be written. In it, he has revealed to us both his will for our daily lives and his marvelous plan of salvation. Throughout, in both law and gospel, his grace is manifest. His very nature becomes known to us. John summed it up in his first epistle, God is love. Therefore, his book, his word is a book about love. The love of God, the God of creation, for his creatures, for you and for me. In a very real sense, the Bible is God's love letter to mankind. Now, this includes both law and gospel. Now, this gets confused sometimes. Now, it's easy to see that a verse like John 3:16 is a word of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But it's perhaps a little more difficult to see that the law is also an expression of his love. The flesh rebels against being told what to do or not to do, right? We don't like to be told what to do. Now, you who have raised or cared for children, think about it, have given many commandments, perhaps hundreds of them. You shall not play in the street. You shall not play with matches. You shall not run with a sharp object in your hand. You shall not beat your brother. You shall clean behind your ears, and so on. Now, why did we give these commands? Why? Because we loved the child. Because we didn't want harm to come to our precious little one. So it is with God. He doesn't want harm to come to us in body or soul. So he gives us commands, words of love. The purpose of his commandments is not to hinder or discourage us at all, but to help us. It is a good thing to be commanded by God. Every single one of the Ten Commandments is really an expression of our Heavenly Father's love for us. He doesn't want us to suffer in the flesh. And he certainly does not want us to go to an everlasting punishment, which is the end result of going against his holy will. So he has given us a guideline for living, doing things in a way that will bring a blessing rather than a curse. In a very real way, the Ten Commandments are a means whereby the Lord teaches us to love. Now remember, Jesus kept all of the commandments perfectly. Not once did he disobey his Father who sent him into this world. Jesus always loved everyone. Despite the temptations of the devil and the evil intent of those who hated him, he loved all the way to the cross. And even when he was nailed to it, uttered those unforgettable words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Such is the love of God for all sinners, made abundantly clear in these words, God, our Savior, desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2. The gospel, then, tells us how we are saved, namely by the grace of God through a living faith in his Son, our Savior Jesus. And by the power of the gospel, we are enabled to believe. We are given faith. In love, our Father in heaven sent his Son to die for us. In love, his Son willingly came, setting aside his deity to become true man so he could take our place under the law. This he did. He kept it perfectly for us. And he gave his life to pay the penalty we deserved. Our Maker and Redeemer showed us how to love, to the extent that we too might present ourselves as living sacrifices, loving our fellow man as he did, and loving him above all else in creation. The purpose of the law is not to justify us. Jesus did that. Its purpose is twofold: to show us our sins, remember that SOS in our confirmation instruction, show us our sins, and to show us the way of love, both for our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and our neighbor. And everyone is our neighbor. To keep the Ten Commandments is to be a loving person. When Jesus said in his great outdoor sermon on the mountain, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect," he was saying that we should love without reservation, without limit. We are never to withhold love. Not from God, not from anyone. To love should be our goal in life. I mean that in a literal way. Not making money, not striving for fame or power, not excelling in the sports or in the arts, not living in luxury, not satisfying any desire of the flesh whatsoever. We were created to love. A self-sacrificing kind of love for our Lord, for others, and even for ourselves. And do this for a lifetime on earth. Now again, Scripture points us to keeping the commandments as a way to share the love of God. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. 1 John 5. Never is it a burden to love God or any human being. Rather, it is a joy, a way to peace, and the secret to finding purpose and fulfillment in this life we live. Now, verses 7 to 15 of our reading are the first table of the law, which God gave to Moses on a tablet of stone. These are the commands that Jesus summed up in Matthew chapter 22 in what is called the greatest commandment. These are of the foremost importance. Our Lord first requires of his creatures that they love him above all else, more than anything in creation, more than other people, more than self, more than anything under the sun. As Paul tells us, love is greater than faith, 1 Corinthians 13. One can have all the faith in the world. Oh, yeah, I believe in God. And I say to that, so what? If a person doesn't love the Lord God, he isn't going to heaven. His faith is dead. A living faith, a saving faith, is rooted in the love of God. And love for the Lord is the motivation for keeping the first three commandments, always putting him first. We're talking here about having a personal relationship with a Father, with the God of heaven, giving one's heart to him, dedicating one life to serving him, whatever our vocation. Lovers of God will always put him first, avoiding any form of idolatry, including the love of money and things. Mindful of our baptismal vows, we keep his name holy, avoiding vain words, instead blessing and praising and praying to him. Those who truly love the Lord will pause from their labors and pleasures at least one day a week, and we just heard that again, and not only here, but the Old Testament lesson alluded to it. One day a week, which is the Sabbath day, day of rest and worship, and come to God's house to worship him in reverence and awe. It is here that we are drawn even closer to our Heavenly Father and to Jesus, to our eternal joy. Verses 16 through 21 are the second table of the law of God, in which he tells us how to love our neighbor. Now, these seven commandments are of equal importance. Together, all show ways that we are to be loving other people. Now, one might think that telling a lie is not really serious compared to committing murder, right? But in James 2, listen to this one. Whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of it all. Verse 10. If we have broken just one commandment, we have failed to love. And that is what the divine judge is looking at. A person might see no problem with disobeying authority, as one example, an employer, a teacher, a policeman, or a pastor. But that same person will be aghast at the thought of committing a sex crime or being a homosexual. There is no difference. No difference. One has failed to love. The sin is the same. Transgressing the fourth or the sixth commandments is failing to love someone. And not only just another person. Anytime one sins by disobeying a command in the second table of the law, he or she is also breaking the first commandment. You never break less than two at a time. Why? Because God's will is not being put first. If we hurt our neighbor, we are also hurting God. And love for oneself is also lacking because disobedience brings judgment upon the sinner. All of the commands and directives of Scripture, and there are over 1,500, can all be grouped under this outline of 10 commandments. For example, God tells us to serve him, for one. Another, we are to tithe the first fruits of our income. That's a command. We are to be God's witnesses wherever we are and support the work of evangelism. Failing to do these things is breaking the first commandment. Failing to love God. Many times over in the scriptures, we are told to care for the poor, to visit the widow, the orphan, and the sick. Mutual encouragement, sharing each other's burdens, and the vital good work of praying for one another are all commanded. Each of these fall under the second table of the law, summed up by Jesus himself when he said, and I quote our Lord Jesus, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So we might ask ourselves, just how much do I love my neighbor? Jesus gives us a very thought-provoking answer to this question. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus did this. Are we who bear the name Christian like him or not? Do we care enough about those who don't know Jesus to be willing to sacrifice to save them either from an earthly danger or from an everlasting hell? Jesus did. Jesus set the perfect example. He kept the commandments. He showed the way of love. In addition to the law, he taught the gospel, the good news of salvation through faith in him. Jesus' perfect obedience becomes our perfect obedience through faith. His perfection becomes our perfection by believing in him. You shall be holy, for I am holy, we find in 1 Peter 1. When we put our trust in Jesus completely, not relying on any good that we have done to save ourselves, then his holiness becomes ours. Our own good works are imperfect. That's why we cannot be saved by good works. God requires us to keep all of his commandments, but despite our best efforts, and I think most of us have experienced this, I sure have, we try and we try, we vow not to do this or that again, something that was wrong, and what do? We turn right around and do it again. We all sin, we fail. We must depend on the grace of God to save us, his undeserved kindness, his unmerited favor. Jesus earned salvation for us. And for his sake, the Heavenly Father is willing to forgive our rebellion, our forgetfulness, our many mistakes, and our lack of zeal. Following our repentance, we hear that wondrous declaration of love. Your sins are forgiven. Obedience to the law doesn't save us, but heartfelt love for God and for our neighbor is necessary to show that our faith is alive and evidence that we truly are children of God. In Arizona, and this is a true incident, I can't remember the date, I didn't write that in my notes, but this actually happened. In Arizona, an Indian girl turned over a stone and a large rattlesnake that was coiled under it sprang up and struck her deep in the flesh of her leg. She screamed out, and her brother was working nearby, so he rushed over to help her. Well, he killed the snake, and then he quickly put his mouth on the wound and sucked out the deadly poison. His loving care saved her life, but the boy had a sore in his mouth, which the poison entered, and it killed him. Love is willing to take a risk in the face of danger. God's kind of love, manifest in Christ Jesus, will gladly pay a price if it means putting God or the well-being of another person first. The Ten Commandments show us how to do this. Doing God's will, striving to please him at all times, may not be easy. In fact, may be costly in human terms, but it is always the right thing to do. So often, the commandments of God are ridiculed or even rejected by our society today, and yet they are exactly or precisely the kind of law we need to reconcile the opposing factions in our society. If everyone kept the law of God, there would be peace in our land. And the Lord God would be given the honor and the glory due his holy name. Our task and joy going into another week is to love everyone, family, neighbors, co-workers, fellow students, members of our Christian assembly, our fellowship. And the Holy Spirit has given us the perfect guideline for doing so, the Ten Commandments. Learn them, obey them, live by them. After all, this is the way of love. Jesus himself has a closing word for us. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. How much do you love him? In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through a living faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.